Chapter 40 Taln 8 Talnan Lan crouched in a side chamber, the room lit only by a window on the far wall. Footsteps, yells, and the sounds of battle echoed through the palace's stone hallways. Lan's breathing was quick.
What's happening?
The monk demanded.
Someone has taken the oath gates,
Taln said quietly from his position at the doorway. The outside hallway was empty. Taln turned from the hallway door and slunk across the room to the window, peeking outside.
They sent soldiers through to secure the palace.
He could see a large assemblage of soldiers gathering outside the window, right at the top of the ramp leading down into the city proper. The men appeared to be lounging idly, as if waiting for orders, but their postures were slightly forced. They were members of the invading army sent to make certain no one escaped the palace and warned the people below. Whoever the invaders were, they worked efficiently. The ramp had been secured within minutes, and the attack was well placed. The palace was probably understaffed with soldiers, most having gone with their various lords to join King Elikar in his war-making.
Well, that way is cut off.
There were at least 50 soldiers atop the ramp, far more than he would like to try fighting on his own without a shard blade. He probably could have reached the ramp ahead of them, but he'd chosen to hide instead, fearing that Lan wouldn't be able to keep up. Apparently, that had been a poor decision. Lan listened at the doorway a little longer, obviously trying to determine the validity of Taln's words. Eventually, the monk joined Taln at the window.
Who could it be?
He asked nervously. Taln shook his head.
They're Kanaran, he said. Either Vaden or Prahlan. Perhaps Yakaved is attacked, or maybe some remnants from the conquered Prahlan nations are trying to get revenge on your king. Their identity doesn't matter to us. Our job is to get past those soldiers and escape before the city is captured.
Lan frowned.
We can't go. We have to do something.
Like what?
Taln said, leaving the window. The western ramp had been taken, but perhaps he could beat the invaders to the eastern ramp.
I don't know, Lan admitted. Don't you care if the city falls?
This city fell centuries ago,
Taln said frankly, glancing out the doorway and making certain the hallway was still clear. He paused, looking back and noting Lan's concern.
Look, if you want to help your countrymen, you have to escape the palace first. Get to the lower city with me, and you can raise the alarm if you wish. It matters not to me.
Lan nodded, joining Taln as he crept from the room and began moving through the palace. He tried to stay to the periphery of the labyrinthine structure, away from the oath gates. The invaders would have to bring in many soldiers quickly, secure the palace, then try and take the city gates by subterfuge. While Aram's people would be accustomed to seeing large groups of soldiers moving through the streets, King Elikar's war preparations had been steady during the last few weeks. It was a daring attack, but a clever one. The first capital was isolated in its cliffside location. An occupying force could hold the city with ease, assuming it gained control of both city walls and oath gates.
But how?
Taln thought.
How did they get through the oath gate? Elikar would have been a fool to leave his side open to invasion.
It didn't matter. True, the bickerings of men were harmful. Divisiveness would lead to destruction when the Hothan came. But for the moment, it didn't matter to Taln who held Rel Aram. One unbelieving kingdom or another, it was the same. A sudden gasp from Lan drew his attention. Taln paused, one hand against a stone wall as he listened for the sounds of battle. The monk's face had grown pale, and he was looking down a side passage toward something Taln couldn't see.
What?
Taln hissed, joining the monk. He needn't have asked. Bodies lay scattered through the hallway, blood pooling on the white marble. They wore the simple clothing of servants, their bodies hacked and mangled, obviously cut down as they tried to run. Lan turned, retching. Taln stood silently, observing the carnage.
Why?
Lan finally whispered.
They need to secure the palace,
Taln said quietly.
Killing the occupants is faster and safer than trying to capture them. This way no one escapes to raise warning.
Lon turned away from the slaughter, slumping with his back against a wall, shuddering sickly. Talm stared on. The dead stared back.
"Oh, almighty," he thought, bowing his head. "Sometimes I wonder if they're worth protecting."
A scream sounded from behind. Lon glanced up. The scream was close, just down the hallway. Talm didn't turn toward the sound. He looked through the hallway of corpses, past the death, toward a window at the far end. Through it, he could just barely make out the slope of the eastern ramp. It was empty.
"I need to go. This fight is not mine. I need to escape so that I can—"
The scream sounded again. Lon scrambled to his feet, apparently trying to judge the sound's location. His hands shook as he scrambled over and picked up a discarded length of wood one of the dead peasants had tried to use as a weapon. Lon paused, looking down at his weapon. The scream sounded again, and he looked up. His posture was nervous, his hands quivering. Then he struck off down the hallway toward the sound. Lon would fight. Even though the monk had never held a weapon, he would fight and die to protect the one who screamed in fear. Lon might be an idler, as he always claimed, but he was a good man. Some of them were definitely worth saving. Talm looked down at the bodies as the screams called to him, feeling an anger begin to burn in his chest. 3,000 years had men been on Roshar. 3,000 years of being killed by the Chothan, buffeted by high storms, and surviving upon the harsh rocks of an inhospitable world. 3,000 years, and they still had not learned. They still had to kill. Quietly cursing himself for a fool, Talm turned his back on both corpses and windows. He stalked down the hallway, passing Lon, following the sounds, and slammed open a door at the end. A group of the fake Aleth soldiers stood with corpses at their feet. A small cluster of terrified servants cringed near the far wall, women clutching children, men huddled and frightened. Those with the will to fight back already lay in their own blood. The door shook as it slammed against the far wall, and the soldiers looked up. Most held spears, though a sword-wielding nobleman directed their work. The officer waved toward Talm, barking a command in a language Talm almost understood. A spearman approached Talm with a grim expression. The soldier's eyes bespoke a guilty resolve. He had convinced himself that, as a simple foot soldier, he was not responsible for the immoral decisions of his betters.
"You should know better," Talm whispered angrily.
The spearman thrust with his weapon, and Talm was finally free. No angry monks stopped him this time, no noblemen turned their backs, and no Lady Yasna appeared to stay his hand. It had been centuries since he had last been able to fight back. Talm ducked to the side, snatching the spear's haft and yanking it forward. The soldier yelped, falling off balance, and Talm grabbed him by the arm, twisting with a firm yank. The arm popped in its joint, and the man screamed in pain as Talm jerked him around, grabbed him by the back of the neck, and slammed his forehead against the stone doorway. The soldier slumped to the ground, and Talm kicked the spear up into his hand. He spun it and fell into a fighting stance. The other soldiers stared down at their unconscious comrade. The frightened servants fell silent, looking up with hopeful faces.
"Kill him!"
the officer yelled, his foreign words becoming distinct as Talm's mind decrypted the changes in the Vaden language since his departure. Talm did not wait for the soldiers to obey. He leapt forward, spinning his spear in a staff form. The four spearmen fell into a line, like battlefield warriors, holding their spears as if to thrust. Talm knocked their weapons aside, slamming the butt of his spear into a head as he spun past. He ducked beneath a spear swipe, turning to ram his weapon through a second man's side, just below the breastplate. The soldier stumbled to his knees, his death throes twisting the still-impaling spear in Talm's fingers. Talm dropped the weapon, ducked to the side, and kicked another fallen spear up into his hands. Then he raised it to deflect a third soldier's thrust. Talm jumped backwards, spinning his weapon around so the tip faced behind him, then rammed it through the surprised nobleman's neck. Talm turned, sidestepping a spear thrust, then spun his weapon around and stabbed his attacker in the thigh. The man dropped to one knee, and Talm took him down with a second thrust to the face. The final spearman tried a wild thrust, but Taln wrapped the haft of his own weapon against the man's spear 3 times in blinding succession, stepping forward with each hit, then dropped his spear as he got too close for effectiveness and punched his opponent square in the face. The spearman fell unconscious. Taln spun 1 final time, cloak billowing, as he kicked a 3rd spear into his hand. He raised it carefully, eyeing the fallen men for further danger. The impaled spearman finally jerked to a painful stop, and none of the others moved. The room was still.
"By the winds," a voice finally whispered.
Lon stood at the doorway, eyes wide with shock. Taln lowered his spear, the metal tip clicking against the stone floor. Then he dropped the weapon, waving toward the frightened servants.
"See to them,"
he ordered Lon as he moved to check on the servants who had been struck down before he arrived. There were 5. A couple of the dead lay clutching makeshift weapons, lengths of wood or kitchen knives. Only 1 had a pulse, an aging man in the uniform of a citizen courier. Taln rolled the injured man onto his side, pressing his hand against the still bleeding spear wound. He reflexively reached out to the Na'el bond within him, preparing to draw upon the life energy of the thousands who were linked to his soul tone. And found nothing. He cursed quietly. There would be no healings this return until he discovered what had happened to his powers. He would have to do things the old-fashioned way. He reached over, sliding a dagger from a dead soldier's belt, then cut away the wounded man's shirt. The spear wound was relatively shallow.
"Father,"
a younger woman said, rushing to the man's side. Lon gently pulled her away as Taln cleaned the wound with his water flask, then bound it with a strip of cloth from the man's own cloak. He nodded to Lon, motioning for him to let the girl attend the fallen man. Taln stood, assessing the situation. There were 9 servants remaining, minus the wounded man, but 4 were women and 3 were children. The 2 men were an unimpressive pair, obviously brothers. They were spindly, nervous, and dressed in the simple garb of kitchen assistants.
"You two,"
Taln said, kicking a pair of spears into his hands.
"Take these."
The 2 kitchen men caught the spears in uncertain hands.
My lord, one began.
"I know," Taln interrupted. "You don't know how to use them. Try and look like you do."
He tossed a 3rd spear to Lon.
"Same for you."
He nodded to the 4 women.
2 of you fashion a litter from that nobleman's cloak and the 2 remaining spears so we can pull the wounded man behind us. 1 of you watch after the children. And you."
The final woman was a stout, middle-aged scullery maid with a wrinkled, unfrightened expression. Taln tossed her the nobleman's sword. She caught it with surprise.
"They won't expect you to be armed," Taln said. "Find a way to exploit their ignorance. Let's move."
As the women crafted their litter, Taln gathered daggers from the fallen soldiers. He kept 2 and gave the other 3 to the unarmed women. Then he told the servants to remain still for a moment as he ducked back into the hallway and checked the eastern ramp. It was now guarded by another squadron of soldiers. Taln gritted his teeth, then made his way back to the room. The women were still working on the litter when Taln re-entered. As Taln tried to decide what to do, Lon approached him.
"It appears I was wrong about you again," the monk said. "Where did you learn to—"
Lon trailed off as Taln regarded him with a suffering expression.
"Oh, right," Lon mumbled. 3,000-year-old pseudo-divinity. "Well, got any holy powers that will get us out of the palace?"
Taln snorted, tucking 1 of his daggers into the knife fold on the inside of his cloak.
"You're the one who wanted to stay and help."
Lon looked helplessly at the spear in his hand, then down at the dead servants and soldiers. He gritted his teeth.
"Right. Where next, then?"
Taln shook his head.
"Your first instinct was right. We need to leave. I can't fight an entire army."
"Do you think they intend to—
"Kill everyone in the palace?" Taln asked. "Probably. That would be the easiest way to ensure that no one gets out to warn the city guard. They'll likely take a few hostages from among the upper nobility to use as leverage against Elokar, but it's doubtful that even those will survive the invasion."
"The upper nobility," Lon said. "You mean like Lady Yasna?"
Taln paused.
"Yes, exactly like Lady Yasna."
Why did the thought bother him? He owed the woman nothing. Or did he? She had saved his life, perhaps twice. Though she thought him a madman, she had seen to his care, even his comfort, during his stay in Rhal Arrim. He had seen the way that hostage women, even nobility, were often treated by their captors. The ramps were blocked, the palace sealed. In better circumstances, perhaps he could have taken the oath gates and stopped the flow of soldiers, but he didn't have the manpower to attempt such a dangerous move. There were, however, other ways out of the building, ways known only to those who had been present when the foundations were laid. It was on the way. If he took them to the cellars, he would pass through the Aleth royal quarters. It would probably be only a short stop to check and see if Lady Jasnah were still alive, assuming he knew specifically which rooms belonged to her. Tom turned, regarding the steady-backed maid, who had taken command of the small group of maids and was directing the construction of the litter. The woman worked efficiently. Her presence was obviously a comfort to the younger girls, and they had almost completed their task.
"Woman,"
Tom said. She turned.
"Denia, my lord."
"Denia,"
Tom said.
"Do you know which quarters belong to—"
"Lady Jasnah, my lord?" she asked. "The lady was to be married today. Do you want her quarters or her husband's quarters?"
"Married,"
Tom thought with a shock.
"Her quarters,"
he finally decided. It was as good a choice as any.
"I can show you then, my lord," the chambermaid said, "once we reach the proper section."
Tal nodded to himself, stepping out the eastern door and listening in the hallway beyond. He heard faint sounds of battle coming from the rightmost corridor.
"This way,"
he said, waving his nervous group forward.
"That way?" Lon asked. "But that's the direction of the fighting."
"Where there is fighting, there is resistance," Tal said. "And that is where we want to be. Come."